Tomorrow night and Saturday night, I'm speaking on the same subject, the unpardonable sin that we preachers call it, but the Bible calls it, a time when God puts men under strong delusion and fixes them so they cannot believe the truth and seals them in their damnation, and they enter into hell. With all of my heart, I believe that it seems that America, especially because of the light she's had and sinned against it, I believe that God has placed America under a great fall of reprobation for a season. And I approach the pulpit these last 5 or 6 years with the most unholy burden and dread of all my years put together, for I am deeply conscious of the fact that God Almighty, who saves everybody whom he gets lost and who uses means to get men lost so they recognize it, so that he can save a lost person, but even God can't save anybody unless he needs saving. And the thing that is with me night and day, and I'll be honest with you, it makes me listen some to your pastor in his thinking. It looks, I tell you, God's not using the means that he once used to whittle men down and bring them to the place out of their deep need. They'll cry unto God until the answer comes. I'm seeing less results the older I grow, and it ought not be that way. And you may search your heart and you say, well, it's you. Well, I take that with the exception it's not simply me, it's every preacher is telling the same story today. And I tell you, that's a tremendous cause for alarm. And my heart goes out to anybody who's like I was, and I think that's true of so many, even in our church rolls today. 11 long years I was a member of a congregation before God Almighty discovered to me that I'd missed Christ and had just a hollow profession but no reality. Only God can do that. And God's not doing it much now. And I preach my heart out. If I could preach what they call the gospel today, I could get as many results as some of the other preachers. There's not that much difference in men. But I can't preach that because I think that only results in men making decisions out of their own strength and not getting to God. But in other days, I've seen God take the truth, mightily tear people up and show them themselves. I don't see it much today. And so as I come to preach, I come with a labor in my own soul. Don't know just exactly how to handle it and face it yet, but a cry in my heart that God might do for somebody else what he was so blessed, precious to do to me. He didn't leave me alone behind the church membership and a comfortable profession and all of that. But he stirred up the nest and he bared my soul and he showed me my condition. And that's what we're trying to see take place here. Do your best now to control your children so that the people may hear. How does God get men lost? How does God get men lost? He uses 3 truths to plow hearts to reveal men's condition to themselves. There never was a greater blasphemy than that that's been preached all over America. God loves you, and Christ died for you. You believe that? Well, you'll see. But listen to Brother Barnard. No man can know that Christ died for him until you join to him and save and save. The gospel does not say that Christ died for you. The gospel says Christ died for sinners. But you see, if you walk the streets of Southern Pines tomorrow, or you comb the roll of this church, if you have one, it'd be awfully hard to find a sinner. A guilty sinner. A sinner. We just don't say it in words, but we say it in our hearts. God Almighty just lied about it. We are not hopelessly rebellious sinners. We're pretty nice people. We're doing the best we can. There are three truths that must be preached again to this generation. It is the absolute depraved condition of all mankind. That you are so ruined that there's nothing about you, nothing you can do that God can accept. He's got to destroy the whole thing. Then the absolute saviorhood of Christ, that horrible, bloody offering of himself as an offering for sin. Not the light, nice little sentimental Jesus who expressed his love on Calvary. And then the absolute lordship of Christ. When we come to that, we come to what I want to talk about tonight. Men will accept the lordship of Christ over the nations, over the waves. They wouldn't deny that he could speak and the troubled waves would quit, that he could speak and death couldn't prevail, that he could speak and people were healed and all of that. But the one thing, now listen to me, the one thing that this generation in the church and out, I don't know about you individually, will not accept and praise God over is that he's Lord over the reins of your heart, that you absolutely are in his hands to do with as he pleases. We just will not accept that. This generation of preachers have made fun of that, called it fatalism and hardshellism and all of that. But brother, you cannot have Christ if you whittle down Christ one whit. And the same Christ who starts walking along and say to a fellow named Levi that never met before, get up and follow me. That same Christ who controls the very reins of your heart, not your will, but he controls it. If he don't come and speak to you and call you and command you in such a way that you know he's talking to you, you're going to go to hell. You're going to go to hell. Your daddies and mothers, I don't care what kind of denomination they were in, believe what I'm preaching. This generation of church members don't believe in the God of the Bible. You believe in the God that does like you think he ought to. Don't you know, my friends? I'm telling you the truth. God Almighty has turned everything for a certain time over to the Lord Jesus Christ, even your destiny. Even where you're going to spend eternity. I'm telling you, he's going to decide it, brother. The Lord Jesus Christ. Not you, but Christ. Now, you just can't take that in your own strength. You're going to go to hell opposing that if you don't watch out. But that's God. Everything that wiggles has been turned over to Jesus Christ. You and me and everything else. And you are in his hands. Now, of course, I ask you to try to hear me. Even if you heard 100 times everything in you, you don't want to believe this, because for the most part you were raised on a gospel that you cast the deciding vote. You determine whether you go to hell or heaven. But no, that's been turned over to Christ. He's the one to whom you've been given. He bought you with his blood. He owns your lock, stock, and barrel. And he's got you on his head. And he's going to send you to heaven or hell. Not Ralph Barnard, Jesus Christ. You're in his hand. I'm trying to lead you up to propositions you ever got lost. You get saved. But I don't think there's much chance that you ever get lost, because you're raised on preaching that denies that you're lost. Oh, they said, oh, you poor lost sinner, won't you come to Jesus? And won't you trust him and all of that? But they wouldn't preach to you that the thing that fixes it so it's dead certain that you are lost is that you can't do a single thing that must be done in order to be saved. As long as you keep on believing that God does this and God does that, and now it's up to you, you ain't plumb lost. You may be in pretty bad shape. But you ain't such a bad shape that you can't get out of it. And a man ain't lost as long as he's got any way or any strength to get out of the mess he's in.
That's right. Amen.
I've butchered my body. I've been in this a while. I've poured my strength out. I've bucked preachers. I know I'm telling you the God's truth. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Not disabled. Not caught in a bad fix. But completely lost, without anything they can do to recover from their awful condition. He's got to do it all. Let me see if I can give a simple illustration to help somebody here. And I don't know why. I know it's a judgment. Well, maybe not know now. Who's here? It's Miss Christ. I don't know. What are you talking about? Being lost. Let me give you this little simple illustration. Here's a little 5-year-old boy. His mother and father lived just across the road from the city limits on the other side. There's a big woods out there, great forest. They got a rail fence around the little home. The 5-year-old boy is allowed to play in the yard. Mother said, now don't you go out of the yard. Whatever you do, don't you go into that forest. Now, if you're a member of the human race, all on God's earth, mama or father or school teacher or traffic cop or the mayor or God Almighty or anybody else has got to do to be to fix it so you'll dead sure do something is to tell you not to. Paul says that. The law stirs you up, you know. But yeah, you say, I ain't going to do nothing. I'll show you. How it all started. God Almighty told Adam and Eve to keep their hands off the fruit of that tree. Told them exactly what would happen if they did. Boy, all hell couldn't have kept old Eve from reaching up and getting it. Anybody gonna tell me I can't do anything? And so one day, while the mother's busy in the house, the little 5-year-old boy unlatches the gate and he goes out. Starts playing in the forest. And boy, he's having the time of his life. And before he knows it, he's put a well in the forest. And lo and behold, nighttime comes on. And all at once, the little boy figures he's in a bad shape. He don't yet figure he's lost. And he begins to cry just a little bit, not much. He says, oh my, I got to get home. He said, oh joy, that's the way. And so he runs as fast as his legs will cross. And he doesn't get out. And finally he stops and he says, I'm going in the wrong direction. Lord, he said, I believe it's that way. And he goes as fast as he can. But he never does come to the edge of the forest. And then he says, no, no, maybe it's that way. And he runs over there. But he doesn't get out of the forest. And then he runs that way. He's not lost yet. He knows he's in kind of a bad shape. Fixed to lose his home because he's a drunkard. Adulterer, gonna lose his job, lose his family, gonna lose his health. He can put that shape. But I know I'm put a bad shape, but oh yeah, this is the way. That's the way out of the forest. And he runs over there. And that's a while. He gives up. His strength is gone. He's run. Getting nowhere. Poor little fella. He just falls down in exhaustion and cries. He's lost. He don't know how to get out of that mess. He don't know how. He came. He's tried it. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to find out something, you listen to me. Give you a dollar and a half and count cash. If you repent, just try it. If you don't repent, you're going to burn in hell. While I'm preaching tonight, you just make up your mind you're going to repent. And the first time you try it, you find out you can't do it. You can't cut her, brother. You can quit drinking liquor, but you can't abhor yourself. You can't turn against yourself. You can't do it, save your life. He preached it. Now, if you boys will repent, now you said. So the old boy said, I tell you right now, I'm about to drink myself out of house and home, and I'm going to cut it out, and I'm going to get religion and join the church. And he does and goes on to hell. Instead of the flesh, if the doctor scares you enough, you could cut it out, couldn't you?
you cannot give yourself a new heart that hates sin and hates yourself.
Right.
And you cannot bow to the rule of Jesus Christ in your own strength and be glad that he's absolute Lord. Meantime, Papa's come home and they miss the little boys. Oh, Betty's out there. It's dark and they get lanterns and some neighbors come in and they start combing that forest. And every once in a while they'll stop and say, Bobby! Bobby ain't lost yet. He's still running around going to make it himself. Huh? And he don't answer back. After a while, when he's come to the end of himself, when he's tried every way, and he's nothing better, and when in exhaustion he sinks down, can't wiggle another wiggle, through that darkness comes the voice. Daddy comes right where he is in this helpless, hopeless, plumb, lost, exhausted condition. Picks him up, takes him home. Brother, if you ever get to where you can't do a thing about it yourself, can't make a bargain with God, can't accept the proposition the preacher makes, can't repent in your own strength, can't lay hold of Jesus in your own strength, all the wiggle, all the effort gone, and God Almighty used his holy law to shut your big mouth and clank and set you up to being guilty before God where you got not a word to say. I tell you, the Son of Man who came to seek and to save lost people, the day will come when Clark Thomas will be preaching a sermon, or your mama will be witnessing to you, or hear a man on the radio, or somebody will talk to you down on the street, and you'll hear the sovereign God of the universe speaking through that. He'll rescue you. He'll save you. He'll deliver you. That's salvation. God had to send Jonah to the belly of a fish before he could get him the way he didn't have any way on God's earth to save himself. He learned that salvation is of the Lord. That's what it means to be lost. Last night, just this word about it, we tried to say God uses his holy law, that's his requirement. You face that, I guarantee you'll curse God and go on to hell. Or you'll come to begin to realize that somebody has got to find you in the place and condition you're in and say, but right quickly now, and I mean it, if that don't bring you to the realization of your lost condition, God's got another weapon. That is that he requires faith, and you cannot produce it. As long as you think that you can accept Christ, listen to Brother Bond. As long as you think that you can accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in your own strength, you don't believe you're lost, because there's still something you can do about it. You're in bad shape, Brother Thomas, but you ain't plumb lost, because there's still one thing you can do. Now listen to me. Listen to me with all your heart. You see, people don't listen to God's word now, and that's the only way faith is ever wrought, by the hearing of the word of a living God. Now here is a paradox, and nearly every truth in the Bible is paradoxical. Means looks like two different things. God, now listen. God is not going to repent for you. If you do not repent toward God, He'll have to send you to hell. But you can't repent apart from the quickening word of the living God. It is God's word, this book, not memorized, but God's truth in the hands of the Holy Ghost, who quickens, who makes it alive, and works repentance. Repentance is a gift. I said, Brother Barnes, I don't understand that. Good. I don't either. I'm preaching something I understand. I'm telling you what's the truth. You cannot apart from the persistent, faithful, intent ear. Ever hear this word become alive so that you know God's talking to you. Brother, you can't do one thing in faith except as you hear Him. That's what faith is. Faith cometh by hearing. You don't have it to start with. Not saving faith. Oh, you can believe Jesus died as a virgin, believe the Bible, so believe He died on the cross, believe He raised from the dead, and all that. The devils believe all that. The devil is there when Jesus crucified. He don't deny the cross. The devil is there when He's raised from the dead. He believes in more than you do. Why should? He trembles and you don't. But this got to be quickened to you. It's got to be made real to you. That's the way He gives faith. By faith, Abraham did this. And God made the life to him. He didn't have why. He wouldn't have skedaddled not knowing where he went. Can't brag on him. The word of the Lord came to him. The writer of the book of Acts says, the Lord of glory appeared unto him. Spoke to him. Made it alive. Made it real. Don't get mad at me. How many of you got converted by accepting a proposition? Going through some motions. And you know there hasn't been the slightest change in you. There ain't but one thing that'll change men. That's the quickening of the Word of God, bringing life, and all life is in the Son. As the Father hath life within Himself, I'm quoting Scripture, so hath He given life to be in His Son.
And I said a while ago that the one who came by Levi and said, get up there and follow me, he's got to speak to you.
Right.
Your baddest believes it. We're saved when we hear him calling us. He quickens us and we're able to respond. Stretch forth our hand.
Well, his wizard, he couldn't.
What's the difference? Everything that a sinner has to do in order to save, God has to give that ability to do it.
I'm sure you can't have salvation without Christ. So there isn't a life anywhere except in Christ. And the words he speaks, they're alive. And he's got to speak to you. I'm going to camp on this Saturday night. One of the marks God puts on a reprobate. He puts you under his silence. And that's the awfulest thing about the hour in which we live. God sent an earthquake to tear this thing up. We wouldn't bat an eye. We wouldn't hear the voice of God. He put us under his silence. There you are, sister, been a member of the church 40 years, never known Jesus Christ. And he don't bother you. Sleep well at night, eat 3 meals a day, listen to all the preaching, agree with it all, and going on to hell. Silence. Brother, if you ever face this, God requires faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We're saved by grace through faith. That hand of yours must stretch itself out to lay hold of Christ, yet it's with us. How is he going to give you the strength to do what he tells you you've got to do? It'll come as you listen to him speak. I'm not a mystic nor a visionary. Jesus Christ must be made real to you through the written word on the lips of a man, but in the hands of the Holy Spirit. Brother, if God ever calls you, all hell can't shake that for the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. God never goes back on his call. But if you do it yourself, you ain't lost. If you can't put your faith in Christ, you're in pretty bad shape. I think you need help. I think you need a gift of God. And I know you'll receive it if you ever do by listening. My sheep, nobody else ever going to save. They're known to God, not me. My sheep, listen to my voice. Huh? I'm looking you in the face. You don't hear God speaking through his word. Maybe you already reprobated and going to hell. So the sheep, whether he's just been found or not, if he's a sheep, there's one thing about him. Listen. And as you listen, brother, some of these days, you'll hear from God. And when God speaks to you, hell has to turn over when God speaks. Is that right? See, I'm pleading for folks to become listeners Will you let me take this time or not take it? I went 2 days after the Lord saved me, preached my first sermon, Sunday night, God willing. I want to bring my own testimony. I'm not much on testimony, but God's been pleased to use my message when I tell how God saved me, an infidel. And I hope you'll stay with me. But I preached my first sermon, and I went out to the world's biggest oil town, just sprung up in a cow pasture, and I started church in the saloon, and had a time, and then some years later I told me I ought to go to school, so I went to a seminary. And I didn't know much theology. I got down to seminary, and the professors got me in. They believed the book. They just told me all pieces. My professor said that God chose me instead of me choosing him. Well, that took all my glory away from me. I couldn't take that. Well, I couldn't brag a bit, and I got the glory, if that's so, except in him. Because this generation of church members, if they get to heaven, you talk about a bragging society. Some of you folks say, I prayed longer than you did. I shouted louder than you did. Why, you'll turn heaven into hell in 5 minutes if the Lord lets you up there. But there ain't going to be nobody in glory that got anything to glory in except the Lord.
Amen.
That's right. Oh, they'll be bragging on, not about how long they prayed and how they did this and that and the other. Yeah, that's right, folks. Blessed any man should boast. I tell you what, fact that old professor, he said back yonder before there's ever a start in Christ. I can't explain this, but in Christ. But he chose me in Christ. That he gave me to Christ. That didn't mean I saved, but it did mean that one day he called me. Being a sheep, I'd able to hear. I ain't got nothing to brag about. He gave me the hearing ear, put me in Christ. Amen. And then you would expect if I didn't suffer, I'll choose up and take some. I never have got mad at church people that get mad at me about this. But boy, if I'd got my hands on God, I sure would have told him a few things. Why, that took every bit of the boast out. I didn't have nothing. Why, good gracious. Gave all the glory to him. I was an awful shit. Now I argue with the professor I blew and I'd go up to him after this class and I'd say, Dr. Connie, you want me to shut up? Am I making a nuisance out of myself? He said, oh no, Miss Farley, said, you just stay in that hanging rattle, said, we'll land after a while. I said, it keeps the class going. Boy, I argued with them. They tanned down all my theology and my, why, man, alive. I'll have you understand I baptized 2,361 people in the first 6 months, 16 months I've passed. I was a big shot. Yes, this little old fella. Whittling me down. And trouble was, he quoted scripture. But I couldn't take the scripture. And I was out in town in Fort Worth, Texas, in a secondhand bookstore, and I found a book of sermons by old Dr. B.H. Carroll, one of the old Baptist guys. He's the founder of that seminary. And I gave a dime for that book of sermons. You know, the preachers, they won't read nothing. Got any truth in it. And I took it home and I read the sermon. I'd quote it upside down and inside out. He was preaching from the 5th chapter of John. Hear me now. And I'll never forget one statement he made. He's talking about time. The Lord said, now it's coming. And in O.W. now is. When the dead. He's talking about the spirits of the dead.
Son of God, and they that hear shall live. And he preached on the voice with authority. The only voice that's got authority. If you've got any, get delegates it to you, gives it to you, got it from being united to him. Then Mr. Carroll said in the course of his sermon, and it unlocked the scripture. And I could understand what the old professor's talking about. And the Bible, I could understand some of it. And I never got over it. And I wish you'd get into it. Mr. Carroll said, I will know. That if you who listen to me tonight hear only my voice, there's no authority in my voice, you'll go away nothing better. But if in my voice you hear his voice, you'll go away and get saved for eternity. That's it, bud. That's it. That's it. My soul. That voice. There's life in it. That voice. Life has come forth. That voice. Arise and follow me. That voice. With authority can wade through the death that you're in and trespasses and sin. Speak life. Speak life. That's reading the scripture. See, without all this, brethren, give all diligence. Pay you to do it, honey. Give all diligence. It's talking to church people. Give all diligence. Work at it. You're going to go to hell depending on that little experience you said you had. Give all diligence to make your calling an election sure. That voice you said you heard might have been the voice of the devil. Oh, it's his voice. If you prove to me tonight, you say you judge folks around here, I'm subject to it. You prove to me tonight that God Almighty got any way on earth of penetrating through that wall of death that you live in. Except that voice that's got authority. It's the only way anybody can get it.